Welcome to the Beyond Sunday at WMPC podcast and to our final episode of the Great Presbyterian Theology and Taylor Swift Remix. For Presbyterians, resurrection isn't just about Easter morning. It's about new life beginning again and again and again. Today, you'll hear Parish Associate Tom Harris and Pastoral Resident Lee Hunter talk about what it means to be a people of hope who believe Christ's rising changes everything.
Well, hello, friends. I am Tom Harris. It is a pleasure to be back with you. And today I am here with Lee Hunter, a good friend and colleague. And we have the last of our podcast series, Begin Again, What Presbyterians Believe About the Resurrection. And those Taylor Swift fans out there might recognize the title to one of her songs. And for those of you who don't recognize it as the title, it is. And This podcast series was born from the concept of that great line by Karl Barth, who said, when you're studying, have the newspaper in one hand and the Bible in another. Mm-hmm. And this time, instead of a newspaper, well, we're using Taylor Swift's song in our efforts to continually engage culture with our thought and theology and practice. And so today, that thought and theology is about resurrection. And it's a heavy one.
It's a big topic, Tom. I don't know how we're going to do. I will say to all the listeners out there that just like always, I think we will not have many answers for you by the end of this podcast, but certainly our wonderings and our musings, and we hope that those are helpful for you as you think about life and death and resurrection, and as you study the scriptures and other materials that you have at your hand.
Absolutely. I love the way you frame that. It's not something we're going to solve, and mm-hmm. something to just swim yeah. in and explore. So why don't we get started maybe with some of our first impressions? When you hear that, or when you were told that we're going to be covering resurrection, what mm-hmm. were some of your first impressions, yeah. thoughts, or even feelings about this?
Well, as we've already alluded to, it's a big topic, and so my first impression was, yikes, because I wasn't sure how we were going to do it, but we're going to try. We're going to try, Tom.
All right.
I think that for me, resurrection is maybe the biggest mystery of our faith. It is, I think, what sets us apart from other faith traditions. We believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and because we believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ, we believe in our own resurrections. And that is a tough belief to kind of square with what we know and experience in our daily lives. So I don't know. What do you think when you think of resurrection, Tom?
Well, like you, I mean, I went immediately to Jesus' resurrection. Mm-hmm. And well, that means then that we also are resurrected. And my thoughts, I think where you're going with mm-hmm. this also, is resurrection certainly has to do with what happens after we die. Mm-hmm. And that's an important part of our belief in it. And why don't we maybe start with that? What are some scriptures, theologians, maybe that inform your thoughts and
yeah.
beliefs on this?
I mean, automatically we go, I think, to Jesus's resurrection, Jesus appearing to Mary in the garden, the disciples finding the empty tomb. We go to Jesus's post-resurrection appearances to the disciples, for example, visiting them in the upper room, Thomas asking to touch his wounds because he needs to feel those to believe that Jesus has come back from the dead. We know that Jesus walks through walls or doors in those stories. And later in the New Testament, in the epistles, we hear Paul kind of comforting the Thessalonians about the saints that have gone before them, that have already fallen asleep. And then later, you know, to Revelation with John of Patmos, writing about this new heaven and new earth, when we shall all be changed. That's a line from 1 Corinthians 15. But when we will all be changed, and the world will be changed as well as God's reign comes to pass.
Yeah, what a great thing you've brought up, that sense of being changed. And mm-hmm. when you look at bodies, when we start with Jesus' example, you know, I love that. You know, he has this body, and on one hand, it's a body. Mary hugs it in the garden, but she doesn't really recognize his voice, and it takes some waking up on the road to Emmaus. Yeah. He's walking and talking, and they don't recognize him for a while. Yeah. And even, you know, he's this body that walks through walls. He's a body that has wounds that killed him, but he's still alive. And then, of course, in the Gospel of John, he eats their breakfast. It's him, and it's a different him. He's been changed.
There's something different, right? And I think this is a good time to bring in this quote from Donald McKim. I love Donald McKim, and this is from his book, Presbyterian Questions, Presbyterian Answers. You can find it in the library, and this is his answer to what is the resurrection of the body, which, of course, we affirm in the Apostles' Creed that we believe in the resurrection of the body. And this is God's act of raising us up after our physical death and giving us a spiritual body that enables us to live eternal life in God's presence. The resurrection body, of which Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 15, is the imperishable body which is ours because Jesus Christ is raised from the dead. And he goes on to say that we cannot know or comprehend what our resurrection body will be like. We know from Jesus's appearance after his resurrection that he was capable of going through locked doors, like we said, that's from John 20, as well as cooking breakfast for his disciples, that's from John 21. We will presumably, he says, McKim says, recognize others in heaven. Our bodies will not be the limitation they are now to experiencing the fullness of fellowship and love, which finds its ultimate fulfillment in our praise of the eternal God.
What a great quote. Mm-hmm. I love that. Is it, it highlights what we talked about, is that this body will be resurrected. It'll be a different body. But something you said in the beginning of that, I'd love us to turn to, that it's something God does. Resurrection is something God does. It's not Jesus' own will or initiative. Our resurrection isn't just because we really want it. But resurrection is God's act.
That's really important to us as Presbyterians, I think. And I do remember in theology class, like, sort of the point being honed into me that Jesus being raised was God's action, right? Jesus doesn't raise himself up, just like we don't raise ourselves up. And you'll notice it if you pay close attention in some of the liturgy that we that the pastors write and say, we will say that God raised Jesus from the dead. And I think that's important. But, you know, it goes into sort of the concept of our salvation too, I think. That's really important for us as Presbyterians. And in a way, we can't really talk about resurrection without talking about what we believe about predestination and our own salvation, which we believe is God's action to save us.
God's doing.
God bringing us to belief, and that means that we are saved or predestined. Yeah.
That's so important for us, you know, not only as Presbyterians, but I think, you know, looking at this podcast and, you know, do we want to jump into a little bit of what are we saved from, or do you want to move this into, you know, what does resurrection mean for us now? Because I kind of see some overlap in that. Which way do you want to go with this?
I think we'll want to go into what does resurrection mean for us now. I will just say that that God's salvation, right, this idea of election or predestination, that God saves us. We did talk about this in seminary. What are we saved to? What are we saved from? What are we saved for? Which are just bigger questions than maybe we have time to think through today. But, you know, some people can feel like this, that the fact that God is doing so much action and we are doing no action or very little action can be very overwhelming or challenging, I think, as an idea. But it should be a comforting idea for us that we can do nothing to save ourselves. We can't raise ourselves up, that everything is God's decision and God's will. And so All we have to do is live in response to that grace that God has given us.
Yeah.
And I think that gets us into like resurrection in our daily lives and what we do.
Absolutely. It's a very freeing concept when you understand that you don't have to do the right things, say the right things, or be the right person in order for God to use God's power for resurrection.
Amen.
It's God's choice and God's love. So let's move into what difference this great love of God makes for us in our lives. And of course, being good theologians, let's bring Taylor Swift back into the conversation. She has a wonderful line in this song of hers. It starts off, "On a Wednesday in a cafe, I watched it begin again." What a wonderful introduction to talking about what a difference new beginnings, beginning again, resurrection has for us today.
Yeah. As much as resurrection is an extraordinary phenomena, right? I think that there are more ordinary resurrections that we see in our lives every day. And I feel like Taylor Swift is kind of putting her finger on the pulse there. I mean, she's talking about love in her own life, but that's true for us too, that we see the resurrection of love and relationships in our daily lives all the time. And so we wanted to kind of muse a little bit about where do we see resurrection in the day-to-day, and how does that influence the ways that we live? How do we live into resurrection?
That's huge, and then so important. And for me, it's hard to recognize, because I think in many ways we've almost over spiritualized Jesus' resurrection, you know. And it is incredibly important, and at the same time, it was, you know, it was a Thursday afternoon on a hilltop, crucified with criminals, buried in a hole in the ground. And it, out of that Wednesday morning cafe moment, this incredible new life and new way of being emerged. So what are your Wednesday mornings? What are those moments where you find that power of resurrection in just such common, ordinary places?
Well, I mean, I think that in a way, Wednesday morning itself is a resurrection. We spoke a little bit about this yesterday, that every day is sort of like a small resurrection. You know, every morning that we get to wake up is a gift and is a miracle in and of itself. And if you think about, there's sort of this idea that, I mean, scriptures kind of conflate going to sleep and death. They talk about that sort of synonymously. And so if you think about us going to sleep, it's like a little death in a way. And then we wake up in the morning. It's new life every day. Every day we have the opportunity to make different choices, maybe better choices, to be different people, to have sort of a second chance. To be the kinds of people that we want to be, to live in a way that is shaped around Christ and around Christ's teaching. So it sort of is the Wednesday morning, I think, is the resurrection that I see.
So true. Day. Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, the rest of the week as well. Yeah, they're all those Wednesday morning moments. And I love what you're saying there, and that all that stuff, the woulda, shoulda, couldas, the things we wished we'd done and didn't, the things we did and didn't do, those are behind us. Mm-hmm. It's a new day. And yeah, sometimes the shadow of those continues, the consequences of them continue. Mm-hmm. But we can be different people in a new day.
Yeah.
Choose to live differently.
Yeah. I think too, we see evidence of resurrection in other places as well, in other people, I suppose. I mean, we do love sort of a turnaround story, like somebody who's down on their luck and then their life is turned around, possibly by the grace or the mercy of other people, the help from other people. You know, somebody who was on the street but now is in a house and working, you know, those sorts of things. But I think we see it in other ways too. We see it in people who are grieving, right? We see that after a while, they can kind of live into a new life and into a new normal without the person that they have lost.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Where else do you see resurrection?
You know, when you talked about it with the people who are grieving, I thought about a dear friend from a church I used to serve, a place I used to be, Paul Egham. Paul and I would, we had a mission to go find the best hamburgers in town. And so once a month, we would go find, go have hamburgers. And Paul got diagnosed with a terminal illness, and we kept up with that mission and kept doing that. And he, in his dying, he showed me how to live differently in his suffering, in his illness. That was resurrection. You know, he wasn't cured of his illness, but somehow he was made more whole in the midst of his suffering. Yeah. And he shared that. And he lived that. He made me better. He made countless other people better in the midst of his suffering.
Yeah. There's that concept of wholeness, of kind of being reconciled to God, I think is a part of what we believe or what we hope about resurrection, right? That we experience the fullness of God in our resurrection, but also that there is pain and there's grief and there's despair that's attached to resurrection too. Like, we can't experience Easter joy without going through Good Friday and the pain of Good Friday, you know?
Absolutely. That's so true. And that goes back to partly where we began, you know, with these wounds of Jesus. You know, they're there. And at the same time, they're no longer debilitating him. They're no longer defining him. They're no longer limiting him. And you know, I think about people like Paul and, you know, many that you're probably thinking of too.
Yeah.
In the midst of that suffering that they had, the wounds, you have to go through that. And then suddenly, oh, there's something new to this life. Mm-hmm. There's a different way of living and being. And you've still got the illness and you keep on living.
Right.
Differently, better, more whole.
Yeah. Well, I think that there are some Christians that are very focused on resurrection and what comes after death. And I think something that we're kind of getting at is that, and that's okay, like Presbyterians, not to mention Christians, have a variety of views about resurrection, what happens after death, you know, what this means for us as we live now. But I think that what we're kind of getting at is that we know from Scripture that we will be changed. We don't know how that will come about. We don't know what that will look like. And we have to have hope in our resurrection just as we have faith in Jesus's resurrection. But I think what we're getting at is that we're not quite so concerned about what happens after we die. Sure, we think about it, but like we're trying to figure out, how does resurrection impact our lives now? How does it impact your life today?
Absolutely. You're hitting on this wonderful quote from Henry Nouwen. I carry it with me. He's telling a story about visiting a friend's plot. You know, where he was buried in the cemetery, and he concludes this devotional he has, and he talks about eternity, and he says, you know, eternity doesn't begin when you're on the other side of the grass. We're in eternity now. And I think that's so much of what you're talking about, that yes, what happens after we pass away, die, matters. You and I seem much more interested in what happens now.
Mm-hmm.
How do we live into those resurrection lives?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We're in eternity now.
Yeah.
Let's live that way.
Oh, I love that. I love that. I think maybe this is a good time to bring in another quote from Diana Butler Bass, who writes this, and she is talking about an interaction that she experienced with the Reverend Dan or Daniel Corrigan. And so she says, "One year, as Easter approached, I overheard an exchange between this octogenarian liberal lion," talking about Corrigan, "and a fellow parishioner. 'Bishop Corrigan,' the person asked, 'do you believe in the resurrection?' Frankly, I could not wait to hear the answer. Like most of his generation, there was no way that Bishop Corrigan believed in a literal resurrection. He looked at the questioner and said firmly, without pause, 'Yes, I believe in the resurrection. I've seen it too many times not to.'" Bishop Corrigan's comment, a comment upon which I have meditated for some dozen years, points to a different way of embracing, of believing the resurrection. His answer both defies the conventional approach to the resurrection as a scientifically verifiable event and maintains the truthfulness, the credibility of the resurrection as historically viable and real. The resurrection is not an intellectual puzzle. Rather, it is a living theological reality, a distant event with continuing spiritual, human, and social consequences. The evidence for the resurrection is all around us, not in some ancient text, Jesus' bones, or a DNA sample. Rather, the historical evidence for the resurrection is Jesus living in us. It is the transformative power of the Holy Spirit, bringing back to life that which was dead. We are the evidence."
I love that. Mm. What a perfect and beautiful way, I think, for us to end our podcast and this wonderful journey and discussion that we've been on. Do you have any parting thoughts or blessings for our friends?
Blessings as you continue to live resurrection's lives, friends. Like we told you at the beginning, we probably wouldn't have very many answers for you, but we hope that our musings are food for thought as you go about your new day and your new lives as you live into those new lives every single day.
Absolutely. May you be blessed again every Wednesday morning and as you discover again new beginnings every day.
Thanks for tuning in, everyone. We'll meet you back here, same time, next era. And until then, may your heart stay open, your hope enchanted, and your song fearless.